On Good Friday service, I had Sharon Dreher and Ron Yeske share God's word with us, and I'm going to continue that trend in the spring here and into the summer. And this morning, I've asked Christopher Smith if he would share with us. I appreciate Christopher's ministry in our church for the last probably 2 years. He's been in and out and steady for the last year, and he's part of our Beyond Today on Monday night, and Thursday night, he's out for as one of our facilitators of the Alpha Group, and I believe he joins in on Wednesday night with the group that Bill started, and presently, as Herman and Holly have taken some time off, he's leading Tuesday night for Herman and Holly. So appreciate his ministry, and give him a warm welcome as he comes to share God's word.
Thank you, Pastor Al. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is risen.
Amen.
Today we're focusing on Jesus Christ, the Passionate. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so small, but we rejoice that you're so big. You came to save people like us from all the mess of the world we live in. You died to give us access to your resurrection life and set us straight. We praise you, Lord, and long to know more of your great power in our midst. We honor you, Jesus, Messiah. O Lord, please make your presence unmistakable among us. Glorify your name here today, we beseech you. Please bring us close to your Father's heart, because we want to experience his embrace. We want to receive his healing through your hands, hear his words through your lips, our Savior, King, and our Redeemer. Amen. Can you imagine how Jesus felt? Can you imagine how glad he was when he burst out from the grave on Easter Sunday morning? Can you imagine how much joy there was in heaven when he rose up from the dead? Can you imagine how the forces of darkness screamed with rage when our Savior stepped out of the tomb, brimming with life? The power of the evil one was broken. Now Jesus was set on pouring out his resurrected life into people who'd call upon his name, who had given up hope and were calling on his name. The way was set for him to release his spirit to anyone who'd call out to him to save them. Now the world would see how God can turn lives around, how his Father can bring triumph out of tragedy in totally unexpected ways. But that only happened because Jesus was passionate and stuck to his guns with undying love. His was a kind of passion and tenacity that the world had never seen before. That's what propelled him all the way to the cross and made Easter possible. Today's news is that the Son of Man, the Son of God, was a man of extraordinary passion. And here's how it played out. When he arrived, people were attracted to him because of what they sensed they could get from him. In fact, many were enthusiastic, believing that he'd fit in with their agendas quite nicely. He could be very useful as long as he didn't expect them to become serious followers. As long as he brought relief to the brokenhearted, as long as he healed the sick, cured people of diseases, and set captives free, then they were all for him. Who wouldn't be? A man of compassion, a good shepherd, a nice chaplain. Amen. right on, bring him on. The gentleman was just what they wanted. A manageable, middle-class Messiah they would willingly accept. Pity about his habit of hanging out with tricky tax collectors, street people, and ethnic outsiders, like Samaritans and, heaven forbid, Romans. But if you can't have 100%, why not settle for 80? He was still handy to have around. If only he'd been the kind of Messiah they really wanted. Their country, after all, needed to be liberated from cruel foreign oppression. They wanted their nation to be great again. Who wouldn't? So the pressure mounted on him. Jesus needed to be domesticated. And please, let it be without a fuss. Talk about him being Lord over every area of their lives. That was way over the top. That's why it wasn't smooth sailing for our Savior, for this unusual man from Nazareth. He came to his own people and they stumbled. They hesitated and sometimes even thought of stoning him. Even some of his followers drew back, saying he was too different, far too radical. Little did they realize why he'd chosen to live among them. Little did they realize the predicament they really were in. They had no idea that he'd come to protect them from God, not just from the Roman Empire. They had no idea that they were heading for a hot place in a handbasket if their sinful lives didn't get sorted out. They had no idea that Jesus had come to save them from the graves that they had carved out for themselves. They thought that a loving God is just like a big grandpa teddy bear, and that talk about taking your cross daily and following him, well, that was just off the charts. No way could they get their heads around his way of doing things. So it became inevitable. Jesus ended up on the fast track to nowhere nice. He was heading for the precipice to the cliff edge called Calvary. A highly unusual Holy Week was looming on the horizon, looming large for him. The truth was that Jesus and Judaism were parting company, and Jesus didn't like it. It was so sad, and it pained him greatly. The truth was that Jesus and Judaism had different values. As we all know, it began to come to a head near Palm Sunday as it approached, and when he cried out so passionately, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those whom God has sent you, how often would I have gathered you and your children together as a hen gathers her brood under its wings, but you weren't willing. How often would I have gathered your people together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? But you refused and you said, no way, no way, no thanks, we're fine." How his heart ached. His people were so short-sighted, and he felt for them. They had no idea that they needed him to protect them from God, a holy God. They had no idea that they needed someone to pay the price for all their sins. No idea that they needed to be set free from the power of darkness in their lives before they could ever know God as wonderful Heavenly Father. They had no idea. They thought they could get on God's right side by keeping a few rules and being good. Don't know where they got that from. Not for a moment did they realize that divine justice had to be met before they could be forgiven. They just simply didn't get it. It had never crossed their minds how much they needed a high-powered advocate in the heavenly places. They were just thinking of down here on the earth as if that is all that there was. Here was God himself passionately reaching out to them. God was in Christ reaching out to them, lovingly prepared to give his life for them so that they could fit in and have a wonderful time in his heavenly home. All they could say was, "No way. Thanks, but we're okay. Just fine. You go on your way." That's why Jesus the passionate, ended up on the road towards a massive showdown in Jerusalem, the epicenter of Jewish life. What he wanted to do more than anything else was open up a way for sinners to enjoy God as their holy, passionate, loving dad. Abba. That's why he pressed on to take on the powers of darkness, because he was a man with a mission. He'd come to serve rather than to be served. As Pastor Al reminded us on Friday from John 13, Jesus went the whole distance in caring for his followers. He went the whole distance for those who weren't yet his followers. His followers meant so much to him that he did what only slaves would do, and he washed the feet of his disciples who'd soon turn tail. Here was the godly man of passion whose heart was breaking for you and for me, the Son of God, who'd do anything to rescue the lost, and the least. The Son of God, who was so eager to do his Father's will that he treated doing it as his very food. Wow. Who eagerly anticipated eating his last meal with those who would quit that Passover, just hours before he would be flogged mercilessly and nailed to a beam. The one whose agony was so intense that in the Gethsemane garden, he burst blood vessels for you and for me. The passionate one who took the thrashing that we deserved. The most beautiful man that this earth has ever known, being flogged to the point of breaking, as if that was his reward for all the good and gracious things he'd done. Some thanks. So why? Why did he do it? As we heard this morning, because of the joy that was set before him. Because he was passionate about saving the likes of us, even if it cost him everything, everything, everything that he treasured. All because of his passion to pave the way for his Father to joyfully accept us and want to have us with him 24/7. All to gain a people of his own who'd be to him like a beautiful bride, glorious and radiant, holy and blameless, without stain or wrinkle. What a Lord. Dear friends, that was the only way for Easter to happen. It was the only way to secure peace with God, the Almighty. The only way for us to become secure. The only way for us to reach the Father heart of the Almighty. He did it for us. That was how the good news of Ezekiel 37 began to ring out on Easter Sunday morning. Jesus broke free and came back to life to save sinners who thought they were beyond hope. He rose again to set prisoners free. Isn't that amazing? Praise God that he was so passionate about fulfilling his destiny, his God-given destiny, which included giving us a destiny worth living for. Praise God. With consummate bravery, we heard it from Sharon on Friday, with consummate bravery, he drank the cup of untold suffering to save us, to transform needy sinners like us into a kingdom of passionate priests to the glory of his beloved Father. But even there, he did not stop. It was also his destiny to return to heaven. With mission accomplished, you know where he is now? Getting ready for our arrival. Preparing for the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess with total clarity, no mumbling, he is Lord. He is supreme. When all wickedness and all filthiness will be blotted out. Dear friends, today we praise God for making Ezekiel 37 possible. And I'd like to read out these wonderful verses which surely tie in with Easter and with the first song that we had today. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And here what we're hearing is Ezekiel reporting for us in preparation for the coming of the King, preparation for resurrection. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Imagine the Crow's Nest Pass, full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, do any of us feel we've got some bones that need a freshening? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone." Anyone there today? "We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says." What a word for Easter. "O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is what the passion of Jesus was all about. Verses 12 and 14 reveal the heartbeat of heaven when our Father cries out with feeling, "I will bring you up from your graves, O my people, O my people." That's the good news this Easter Sunday. I will bring those whom you love, folk in the past and in Alberta, up from their graves. Heaven's passion is to get me and you out of our homemade graves, which have the smell of death all over them. The Master is calling. Jesus wants to do for you what he did for Lazarus of Bethany. Come out of your grave, he cried, calling us to a destiny that is impossible without him. Impossible. This Easter Sunday, our key text is very interesting and may come as quite a surprise. It's from Matthew 27, where verses 51 to 54 tell us what happened at Easter. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Wow. Picture it. When the centurion and those who were with him, guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." You see, Easter is the way that God has designed to set people like us free through our risen Lord. Experiencing Easter, experiencing and encountering the risen Christ is the way to be born again. Easter is the route that sinners are invited to take if they're to become genuinely Pentecostal. Easter is God's powerful antidote to apathy and godless trivia. Easter people know that Jesus is alive, and they can't help being passionate about him. It's what makes them passionate about praying and worshiping together, passionate about being filled with the Spirit together. So they catch a grip and are energized to be bold witnesses, bold disciples, bold followers. Easter is about witnessing together and providing proof, providing powerful proof by the grace of God that Jesus really is in our midst. Easter results in lives being thoroughly changed because of the presence of God. Easter is the way out of a dull grave for you to become a new person in Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get free from the grave clothes that cling to you and prevent you from moving forward into newness of life and real living. Thanks to Jesus, it's God's way for your life to turn around before it's too late. You know, it's been said, and you can judge whether this is right or wrong, it has been said that a powerless Pentecostal is similar to a Christless Christian. They have no passion, and they cut no ice. So come to Jesus today, whatever, wherever you are on your journey. Become one with his resurrection people who are passionate about Jesus Christ, the passionate. His promise is in the public domain for all to see. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Praise God. Then will my eyes and ears, says the Lord, be open to the prayer that is made in this place. Hallelujah. Then people's personal graves will open, much to the amazement of unbelievers in our valley. My friends, our Savior's passion is to turn this church of his into a house of healing and a house of fervent prayer. That's his passion. Lord, make it ours. May our goal be to stand out in his name and by his grace resist the forces of darkness. May this Easter Sunday be the day when we start doing business with our Lord. When we decide for Christ, recalibrate our lives as he directs, setting our hearts on doing his will more than anything else. Oh God, may the passion of Jesus be our passion. May we be found passionate when he returns. In closing, our destiny is to become a people of no ordinary passion, sanctified passion, marked by no nonsense, godly compassion. 24/7. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. As I pray, I invite you to make these words your own. You can say them out as I do or after me or in your heart. Make this an opportunity to speak to Jesus, maybe in a way you've never done before. Risen Jesus, I'm tired of doing religion in my own feeble strength. Jesus, I need you to clean my life out. I want to give you my life in a deeper way, without restrictions, so I can call you Lord. I really want to know your passionate Father. I want to know him as my Father. Lord Jesus, please show me how church can come alive in the power of your Spirit. Please turn my life around and fill me with your beautiful Spirit. Oh Lord, wake me up. Open my eyes and make me passionate about the destiny you have for me and those whom I love. In Jesus' holy name I ask this. Amen. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you can say, there ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Amen. Praise God. We're now going to sing a wonderful, wonderful song. Jesus Messiah. Let's stand and sing. Jesus Messiah.